Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. I'm your host for the first ever time. My name is John Smith. I'd like to introduce my right-hand man for this evening, a guy I've never met before. It's Christopher Somani. How are you, Chris?
Evening, John.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on the podcast on your first time.
Thanks. I've obviously never spoken or said anything derogatory to anybody at any point in the past, so... Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It should be great fun. Another man who's looking very happy with himself. Don't know what's happening below that desk, but it's Chris Bowd. How are you, Chris Bowd?
Hello, hello, hello. Aye, it's going well, it's going well.
And we're also joined by, all the way from back home in Germany. He was in London recently, but it's Graham McKay. How are you, Graham?
I mean, obviously there's been a lot of controversy this week and with the Gers fans, as I always call them. And if there are people listening that don't support Celtic and they want to kind of pull me up in anything I say, at Paul the Tim on Twitter, and you can get in touch.
Fantastic. Listen, we're you know, it's been an international break, so we've not had any Celtic to watch. Scotland have been playing, but we're not going to talk about that, thankfully. So, Manny, me and you done a wee show last night. Had a wee recording of Alas, which I believe will be in the people's locals tomorrow, Wednesday.
Alas, we don't like, Manic.
That's it. We don't want to give away too many spoilers, but it was good, and we kind of had a wee look back, and we're going to touch a wee bit kind of on the games that we've had and the games coming up. But did you enjoy yourself last night?
Very much so. It's always a pleasure spending an hour or two with you. It actually ran on a wee bit longer. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So added value for anybody that tunes in tomorrow. No, it was good. Touched a wee bit on quite a few subjects. We mentioned everybody's favourite subject, the rat. And we talked.
We didn't sing the song. I feel like we kind of cheated the people a wee bit. We didn't do our usual rat watch. But next time.
It's, you know, it's out there if people want to listen back to that. We'll do that the next time. But
is it out there?
Well, listen, that's a very good segue, Chris, because when it does come out there, how you're going to listen to it? Well, you're going to subscribe at thecynic.co. Subscribe. There's hundreds of good stuff in there. There's some Christian Wolfe as well. But listen, get involved. But tonight is the weekly. It's international break, but we're going to look a wee bit in retrospect at the games that we've had and this first kind of block of games before the international break, and then hopefully try and be positive and look at what's to come. So, Bowd, I'll start with you.
That's your first mistake.
Controversial. Give us a quick summary on where you think we're at compared to the situation we found ourselves in at the end of last season. Obviously, it was a summer of... You know, a lot of speculation about who the manager was going to be. Was it going to be Eddie Howe? Last minute, it wasn't. We obviously geared ourselves up for what was going to be a massive change in terms of personnel. We knew that we were going to have a big turnaround and things like that. It's happened to some extent now. Our first transfer window under Ange and under Dom has passed us by. How do you think we've developed since the end of last season, and how close do you think we are to competing for the title again?
Aye. I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. Obviously, you know, none of this you can really judge, but you know, based on what we've seen, I think we can all agree we're happy with the manager we've brought in, Ange. And Ange we trust. God bless him. Well, God can't bless him because it's, you know, he is. But we have had a transfer window where we brought in a lot of good players. We've got rid of a lot of the dead wood, which is great, but there's still work to do. As you said, we knew going into this season it would be a huge transition, and we lost a huge number of first-team players. We've lost two or three of our best players. So coming out the transfer window, you would hope to be stronger than when you came in. That's still to be found out. But when you look at players like Kyogo, absolutely incredible. You look to Joe Hart, we've improved the goalkeeping position. Whether it's strong enough is another question. and there's exciting players that we've yet to see, like Giamakis and Jota and Juranovic, obviously, we've seen a wee bit of. But I think we're looking good when you look at the performances we're getting, even before we brought in all of those players, night and day between last season and the start of this season. Ange's done an incredible job. So I think we've landed on our feet, bringing in an incredible coach. A lot of the transfer business we've done looks great, but there wasn't enough of it. It didn't happen soon enough. And then there's the other part of that, the transition of the football club and all of that that goes around it, whether it's a director of football, whether it's a recruitment structure. None of that work seems to have been done. We knew it needed doing, so it's kind of surprising we've got to this point. And obviously Don McKay kind of said that starts after the window, so we'll see what he does with that. But how am I feeling? On the one hand, great, because Ange Postecoglou is fantastic and doing a great job. Some of the performances we've seen have been incredible, and it's been, there's been actual joy going to watch Celtic, which is, you know, we had a year, 18 months of not having that. But, you know, we can't let the board off the hook. They've not provided Ange, I think, with all the support that he was promised and needed for this transfer window. And as I say, as far as we can tell, there's been no positive changes to the structure of the club outside that, which we desperately need to see.
Graham, for you, how far do you think we've came? Are we on the right path for you?
I think so. I mean, if you would say to me, would you rather we had the squad that we have at the start of this season than the squad that we had towards the end of the season before last? I would probably say I would rather that going into this season, because obviously we've lost players. We've lost players that were important. We've lost players because the contract went down, and obviously players weren't really, they didn't seem to have their heart in it anymore, or they just were maybe thinking about moving on elsewhere. So I think from the end of last season to the start of this season, I think we have improved. I don't think, if we look at us over a few year period, I don't think we're at the strongest we've ever been. I think we're probably at the weakest we've been since maybe Ronnie Dyler, from a squad point of view. So that is, it's quite hard to kind of take that when you think about the football club over a 5 year period, we don't really have that progression that we should be having as a football club or as an organisation. You would expect your organisation to have a 5 year plan and be moving forward with it. So it does feel as if a lot of the work that has gone in before this point has just been pissed away. And that is something we're going to just have to deal with at the moment. There's no point in going over it too many times. We can't do anything about it. We just need to start the rebuild. And spoke about how the rebuild from an infrastructure point of view was going to happen when the window shut. This window was always going to be a write-off to the extent where we were going to have to be basically like on the edge of our seat trying to get things done. And I think from that point of view, if you think about the window from the point of view of a team or a club that didn't maybe have the proper infrastructure in place, I think we've done fairly well with the signings coming in. But I'm hopeful that in the next few months we're going to see real change, a change that Bouch has referred to there. I'm hopeful that we'll start to see that happen in the next few months. And it is quite surprising given the kind of amount of leaks that you had when Neil Lennon was still here about, we don't want to let Neil Lennon go because we've got this big infrastructure change. Remember that? Like last December, we were going to change everything after we won the 10.
Yep.
And then that just kind of disappeared, evaporated. So it is bewildering that we're still in this place, but I'm hopeful over the next few months that we'll start to move forward.
Oh, Manny, I don't think we maybe quite spoke about this last night, but you know, last season was really painful because it felt like we had the usual suspects running the club, and for quite a while it felt like they were running us into the ground and they weren't going to be willing to step aside. You know, we obviously learned reasonably quickly or in advance of the summer that the likes of Peter Lawl would leave. There would be obviously a change at the top of the club in that sense, that Neil Lennon obviously left. But from that point of view and what the kind of unknown, because obviously there was a large amount of unknown. We didn't really know what was going to happen next, other than it was going to be a massive rebuild. Are you happy looking back now, or looking at it now in contrast to that point and the total unknown? Are you quite happy where we've ended up, and at least have a bit of hope for what's to come?
I think you need to be positive based on what Ange's done before even getting these final pieces in. You know, there's already a sign or a vision of what we could do. Now, is it completely finished? No, it isn't. You know, we've still got missing pieces of that jigsaw, but it's done now. It's done now until January. I think that the squad's got enough quality there for us to be at the very least on their tails going forward, and I wouldn't have said that 12 weeks ago or whatever it is. So right now, I'm quite positive. I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the new signings. Jota, seeing more of Juranovic. You know, these guys, you know, sometimes when you see players and you see them coming in, you really get excited about their potential and things like that. And there are a couple of guys that I'm definitely feeling that way. So right now, I'm quite upbeat. I'm really looking forward to getting back into action again, because this international stuff's just absolutely garbage. Which I'm sure you'll agree with, Louis. But right now I'm looking forward to watching Celtic, and that's a major step forward from last season.
Yeah, it's I suppose the question of how close we are to competing. It's a kind of difficult one. It's going to come out in the wash, I suppose, over the course of the season. The next kind of period, if you like, from transfer window to transfer window, you know, from now till the turn of the year, it's going to be massive. It's going to tell us a hell of a lot, especially when the games, I mean, even next month, we're going to come on to the games later, but basically get two games a week all through the next month, and you know what the likes of December can be like. The good thing, obviously, it's a good thing being in the likes of European competition, you want these games, but when you're trying to build a squad and you're trying to build a new identity and things, Ange has already spoken about the fact he's not getting a lot of time to train the players and get his, I suppose, his message across in that sense. But Boud, how do you feel that, you know, do you think we're going to stay the distance this year? I mean, and what I think would probably be useful is contrasting it a wee bit with Rangers, and you know, we've seen them over the last few years, you know, their usual arrogance, thinking that they're going to compete just because of who they are, but falling short because they just don't have the squad. Where are we on their barometer of the last few years? Because they thought they were close, they weren't. They thought they were close, they weren't. But slowly but surely they got there to the point they won the league over maybe a 4-year spell. Are we going to have to accept that that might be us?
Yeah, unfortunately, looking at it, that might be a possibility. We shouldn't have to. You know, go one season back, we dominated this league for the best part of a decade. Unfortunately, due to the mismanagement of the club, we're in the situation we are now. But I mean, when you look at that that first team, you know, we shouldn't have any fear. As Sir Manny says, I think we absolutely can compete for this league. But as you've alluded to, the problem really is the squad depth. And for us to go a full season competing in all the competitions we are competing in, we are relying in a tremendous amount of luck. If we think we're going to push and win the league and potentially a cup and stay in Europe, it only takes a couple of injuries and that team is in all sorts of trouble. We've seen, I don't know how bad it is, but we've seen Kyogo's injured on international duty. That could be horrendous for us. You know, Kyogo is our main man now, and losing him, obviously, Big Georgios might step in and be a Greek god to match his Japanese god, but you know, we're relying on the unknown there. And then when you look at other positions, you know, left back, we've got Taylor and Montgomery, who looks great in the games we've seen him, but that's really it. Bolingoli, you can't really count. He's been dropped for the Europa squad. He is way out the picture. Scales, potentially there, but you don't know enough about. And it's the same throughout that squad. Centre midfield, it's just too weak. An injury to McGregor, that's the game's a bogey. But there's a fantastic team there, there just isn't the squad to back them up when we inevitably get injuries, suspensions, or just need to rest players because they've got 60 to 70 games a season.
Graham, what would be your big takeaways from the first kind of four league games, the qualifications for Europe and things like that? So far under Ange since the season started, if you were kind of looking back over the last few games, what would be your big takeaways?
I think already seen a little bit of tiredness when it comes to the attacking play. We've not looked as sharp as we have in some games. But one of the things that's kind of jumped out at me is the thing that we were told before we got Ange, and the thing that people keep kind of bringing up is the fact that we've only got one way of playing and it's all out attack and stuff like that. And I feel as if AZ Alkmaar away, Rangers away, we didn't give up that many opportunities. Even playing the way that we play in full Ange ball TM, it's not as if we're like constantly wide open at the back. We're closing people down from the front. So when it comes to having the one way to play, it doesn't feel to me that even against the kind of better type of opposition that we're going to be playing this season, we haven't been giving up that many chances. So when I was on last week, I was speaking about my fear for the season, basically without getting a centre mid in, that we'd probably be looking at finish within 6 points. But looking at the fixtures we've got until the transfer window opens again, there's not many games that we should be losing. There's a lot of games there that until we play them again at Celtic Park, I would be looking to try and get as many points as possible. And I'm talking about winning 3 points in every single game. Because there's no reason with the first team that we have, if we can rotate properly, there's no reason why we can't go unbeaten until January. And I'm talking about maybe not tomorrow because we're still not on Saturday because we're still getting settled. But I'm talking about the next time a team like Ross County comes to Celtic Park, get Callum McGregor on the bench, get James McCarthy in the midfield, rotate your players and get some freshness in there because there's no need for us to be playing the same players week in, week out when we've got games at home against the likes of these teams. We should, with the team playing, the formation we're playing, the system we're playing, we should be able to open up no matter what. So I'm a bit more optimistic this week just looking at what the next quarter of the season is.
In here, Lee?
You had your hand up, yeah. So, usually you just swan right in. By the way, my name's John. On you go.
Okay, Louis, you just sat there looking confused. So anyway, see, on that as well, I agree with Graham that we really should be looking to win every one of these games. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to, right? If we do drop points, there will be some mitigation there for Ange. Now, I talked about this last night with you, Louis, right? But ultimately, he needs to, with this squad, and should win the vast majority of these games until we play them again.
Does he get that mitigation all season? Like how long does he get? Because he made the mistake against Rangers. He admitted it, right? Fair enough. But see things like that must chip away at it a wee bit.
Well, I think he'll get, he's going to get goodwill for a long part of the season. And I think if we're missing players through, say, injury or, things like that, see if we're just dropping careless points and we've got the large majority of our side there, then people will start to ask questions. But I think there's enough there right now for us to make a real, real fist of this going forward. Get to the next game against them. You've got the transfer window open at that point as well. We really shouldn't be dropping many points. Really, really shouldn't. The window's shut. The squad's settled. Some players who probably didn't want to be there are now no longer there. This is it. Start winning football. Well, keep winning football matches because I know he's done that. There's enough quality there to do that. And I think he will. I think he will. But he'll be judged on what happens between now and then.
Right, let's get into the squad then. As Somani says, the window's shut. The squad's going to settle down, hopefully. I think most of the players that wanted to leave have left. So that's positive, I think, for squad harmony and morale and things like that. We'll first look at the players that have came in because that's, these are the players that we're going to see. Bowdy, you're looking very confused, but who are you most looking forward to seeing and what player do you think might surprise us this season? And I mean in a positive way. Don't tell me that, somebody's going to be shite. Just who are you most looking forward to seeing and who's your surprise player?
They're all going to be shite. So I'm assuming Keel goes out of this because we've seen him. We know he is, you know.
I get what you're trying to say there, but you're trying to say it would be good if you told us who'd actually come in, you idiot host. It's my first time, Bowd. Well, it's my first time. Give me a chance.
That's fine. I'm thinking, as I say, the three big ones for me that are exciting me are Jota, Giakoumakis. I'm going to say that wrong for a very long time, and Juranovic. I think those three are really, really potentially exciting. You know, I'm just hoping we don't have another Yeti situation in our hands with the big Greek striker, but those three I think could be incredible. Jota is wee scarf story as well coming out today.
Shite. Load of bish. Get to fuck. That's like Ryan Christie being a Bournemouth fan. No.
It's amazing that's a preemptive thrown under the bus there.
When he called a shite out, you know what I mean? That's Jeremy Culloch's hands are all over it.
Do you still have the scarf? I think it's up my grand's, but aye, it's still there, aye.
My man's got it in the house. She was using it the other day, aye. Very good. We've signed, before you tell us your surprise player, we've signed, obviously, Kyogo, Carl Starfelt, fantastic, Abada, Juranovic, Giamakis, that's definitely not right, but Georgius, Joe Hart, Liam Scales, Liam Shaw, Urigide, James McCarthy, and Jota, and Cameron Carter-Vickers, can't forget him. I think that's everyone. Who's going to surprise us, do you think, Bowd?
Well, I'll surprise you, first of all, by throwing a curveball into this. I think we might be surprised by Mikey Johnson. Oh. We didn't sign. He's coming back, baby. He's coming back. 40 games this season. And half of them, he'll score or get an assist. That's my...
So what you're saying is Jota will take his scarf and get back in the stand.
Exactly.
Johnson will play.
Right. I think... it's hard. I'm thinking I like Shaw. See what I seen in pre-season? I did like Shaw. I don't know if he'll get those games, you know, when he's behind McGregor and McCarthy. But, you know, if McCarthy isn't fit at some point, McGregor's needed further up the field, then we might get to see Shaw come in and get a few games. But he's got to display sorrow as well. But I don't know. I think he might be one for next year, but I think Shaw's got something about him that I quite liked.
Graham, give it to us. Who are you most looking forward to and who's going to be your surprise pick?
I think I'm most looking forward to Jota as well, because his wee like George Michael haircut, it's going to be adorable, man.
But bouncing as he runs along.
Aye. And just when it gets to like Christmas time, he starts singing Last Christmas and stuff like that, it's just going to be like kind of football. It's going to, Celtic shop is going to go wild. There's going to be like t-shirts and shit. But it's probably not going to be a surprise, but I think it's going to be surprising for the Celtic fans to see what Juranovic looks like in the inverted right-back position. Because I think it's going to be the first... Well, apart from Kyogo, I think it's going to be the first time Ange gets one of his like pegs in the right slot. Like that, he feels like one of the signings that if Ange had like carte blanche on who he was bringing in, he would still be one of the ones he brings in. So I think once he gets into the right-back and he starts being able to come inside and link up with Callum McGregor and start to bring the ball out from the back, I think that's going to be something... it's going to be bigger than just signing a decent right back. It's going to do a lot for advancing the team forward. So Juranovic, I think for me, is going to be a really surprising thing for us to see.
Most looking forward to?
Hey, Jota for his hair.
Oh, just Jota for his hair. Sorry. Yeah. So Manny, yourself?
Aye, big school. Big school, Jota.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Get your jaws, Paul.
Knew you'd like that, Bowd.
Big school. He's, got a good feeling about him. And I actually think that Starfelt's going to surprise people by becoming good.
Really?
We'll leave it at that. Yeah. No, I think Starfelt will settle down and he'll be good for us. In some of the games that we've played, the two away games at Alkmaar and at Ibrox, I think he... you know, when he was forced, he looks as if he's a good penalty box defender when he has to defend. But I think he'll settle down in terms of playing out from the back the way that we'll need him to do most of the time. So there you go. You can slaughter me for this in 6 weeks when he's made an arse of it again.
Absolutely, I will. The players I'm kind of most looking forward to would probably be Giamakis, just because, you know, obviously Kyogo's going to play through the middle, but I think, you know, signing the top goal scorer from the Dutch league, you know, I'm really intrigued to see what he could bring to us and also how much game time he gets, obviously, if we ever see the two of them up top but at the same time or something like that, if Ange will switch it up depending on our position, it'll be interesting to see. And also Liam Scales, left back, I'm not very excited by Greg Taylor, to be honest with you, and I understand that he can do a job and he can do a job well. I just don't think he particularly excels or excites. Now, Liam Scales, like everybody, I know nothing about, but I think you're signing a boy who I think is very highly regarded from the league that he's came from, and okay, it's the Irish league, but it's worth a punt for the money that we've paid for him, and I think if we can get him again for that money and he turns out to be a really good addition to the squad overall, and as Bowdy says, the squad is light, but you really need these players to work out. You need them to be able to come in and at least do a job in the squad, even if they're not going to necessarily start every game. So I think Liam Scales would be an interesting one. I'd like to see him get a bit of game time. My surprise, those are who I'm looking forward to seeing. My surprise, I think, will be Adam Montgomery. I think we've seen enough now to know that he's a boy who seems very level-headed and mature. I mean, he came on in the European game against AZ, and I thought, you know, considering he's basically thrown in there, I thought he'd done really well. And I think we'll see a lot more of him. I think he probably maybe he is just going to play left-back now. You know, I think there's still a wee bit of a question mark over, is he going to play more offensively, or is that his role? And I hope we nail on a role for him. Like, I think we do that too often, where we have... And don't get me wrong, it's great for players to be able to play in multiple positions, somebody like Liam Scales, for example. But I want to know where they're best at, and I want to know that Adam Montgomery is a left-back, and that's where he should be playing, you know. But I think he'll be the one that surprises. I think he's going to play a lot more minutes than what we maybe think and probably have a bigger contribution. So I think that'll be interesting. Graham, in terms of the business coming in, I've been a wee bit more... kind of brought myself down to earth a wee bit and been a wee bit more realistic. I was a bit pissed off, you know, with the way things were going the last couple of days, and okay, we get Cameron Vickers in and things like that, but I was a bit frustrated. I thought we were still light. I still didn't think we had a squad that could compete. But then I think now, in hindsight, I'm like, well, do you know what? We were never going to have a perfect window. We were never going to be full strength, you know, two really good players in every position with one window. How do you feel the squad is shaped up now in terms of the players that come in? Are you happy with the business that we've brought into the club?
I think, as I kind of alluded to at the start, I'm happy with the window based on the way that we went into it and the kind of expectations I had of the kind of shit show that was preempted it. I think like the front three and the backup, especially when Micah Johnson comes back and especially when Wee Dembele comes back, I think the people in those positions are going to be really exciting. And I think in the midfield, if we keep injury-free, we destroy most teams in this league. It's just a case of... A lot of the time in football, it's about being lucky. It's about being lucky with injuries. When you look at the Rangers squad over the last few years, they've basically kept the same squad. They've not signed that many players. They've not sold many players. And the team that they eventually won the league with was basically the team that fucked it up twice before. So it comes down to a lot of times, are you keeping your players fit? Are you keeping your players motivated? And if we can keep important players, for me, I'm talking about Callum McGregor, I'm talking about Kyogo, which is ironic considering his Japan thing. And I'm talking about players like Turnbull and Rogic. If you can keep these players fit, then I don't think we're going to have any problems. I think I was a lot more negative because the window was closing and we weren't signing a centre mid. But if we can just get to January without losing players for injuries or suspensions and stuff like that, and we can keep that luck on our side, then I feel as if we can go again when it comes to the transfer market. We can kind of plug holes and stuff like that. And although there's probably maybe a quarter to a half of the players that we brought in that I wouldn't really want us to bring in, I don't think there was any need for the two Sheffield Wednesday boys to come in. I think there was just maybe filling holes that we could have progressed our own young players through. Where Held eventually goes to Leeds. But it was never going to be perfect, and we were very lucky for it to be good, as far as I'm concerned. And I feel as if it might not have been great, but it's manageable, and it is a squad of players, as we just spoke about earlier, it's a squad of players that should dismantle every other team in this league apart from Rangers, and it's a squad of players that should be able to beat Rangers on that day as well. So I'm fairly optimistic as long as we can stay lucky.
Christopher Samani, we've signed three players that are aged 26, Furuhashi, Starfelt, Juranovic and Giamakis, and we've also signed obviously 34-year-old Joe Hart, 30-year-old James McCarthy. A wee bit of a change of tact, signing players either in their peak or, you know, possibly getting towards the end of their time, with Joe Hart being 34, it's not necessarily kind of graveyard time for a goalkeeper, but that's different. We've not done that very much in recent times. We've often been buying younger that we know that we'll get a resale value on, things like that. Are you glad to see a wee bit of a change in terms of strategy that way?
I think we needed to do it. I think you've always got to have a core. I've said podcasts in the past, I think you need a core of players, you know, that have got enough experience but also aren't linked with other clubs every single summer. So we always had guys like, you know, McGregor. Now, I'm not saying McGregor couldn't play at a higher level. Of course he could. But there's not too much speculation around him. Brown was always a guy that was going to stay there. Forrest seems like that. You know, these guys, you can't have a team full of inexperienced youngsters and hot prospects who are, you know, always only 6 months or a season away from moving to a different league for more money. So I think we needed to fill the gap with those players. All those players you've talked about. I mean, there's possible potential, like Kyogo could go into something bigger. But you could imagine Starfelt being here for 4 years. You could imagine McCarthy being here for that length of time. Joe Hart, Juranovic, you know, possibly the exact same. And you need that. You really need to have squad players in there who are of a sufficient enough quality but aren't constantly linked away, because that's unsettling and it's not conducive to future planning. So I'm glad we've got these guys in. Assuming that they're all going to be a success, I think it's exactly what we needed.
I was going to say as well, I just think with this transfer window was fairly unique in that we lost so many first-team players. You know, Eddie, Brown, Ayer, Christie, and Cham to a lesser extent, Ilunusi going back, Frimpong in January, I suppose. You can't just replace that with 19-year-olds. You know, those are core players that play every day, every week. We do need, as Sir Mario's touching upon there, experienced players that have got minutes in our legs. So whereas generally Celtic's transfer strategy probably should be try to get young players that are going to develop, when you lose a half or more of your core first team, you really need to be bringing in players that are ready to go straight off the bat without having to develop over 6 to 12 months.
Let's have a wee look at who's left. Bowd went through a few names there. Odson Edward obviously left in the final day of the transfer window, went to Crystal Palace. Christopher Ayer had already left. So those other two, you know, both of them went for almost 15 million apiece, obviously probably rising to more, certainly in Eddie's case. But, you know, that's 30 million there, for example. Ryan Christie got his dream move, his boyhood club, of course, Bournemouth in the Championship.
Yeah, they swapped scarves when he was younger.
I've heard that. He was pictured as well. Yeah. We also, you know, in this window, we've also lost Bio, Henry, Incham, Scott Brown, Marion Schved. Lee Griffiths has obviously went on loan. Afolabi, you know, remember him? He's went on loan, so has Ross Doohan, so has Scott Robertson, who I want to come back to later. And then obviously there's loan signings that are no longer at the club as well. So Manny, you happy with who we managed to move on? Obviously there's quite a bit of money come into the club, and that's been something, obviously a wee bit of a bone of contention with people, because we've brought in a lot of money and we've not spent the same amount of money, but I think in the current climate that was probably to be expected, certainly from a kind of frugal board like ours. Is there anybody else that you would have rather wasn't here anymore?
I'm quite glad with who went out. The Griffiths question's been answered. Nothing needs to be said more about that. He's at Dundee for the season, and his deal will be up by then, and I don't imagine they're going to offer him another deal. Christie and Edward had to go. I just think they didn't, when you say they didn't want to be here, it sounds like, you know, a lover's tiff or whatever, and they decided to go. I think their time was up. I think they were part of another era, if you will. They'd made their intentions clear, so I think them not being there at least settles the squad. You aren't playing players who are potentially unhappy, and you're not going to get the manager second-guessing himself like he did at Ibrox when he played Edward. Is there anybody else I'd like to have moved on? Bowley, probably, because it's quite clear that he ain't going to get a game. He's there. Anytime there's a problem with left-back, somebody's going to drag his name out of nowhere and ask why he's not playing. But ultimately, he's finished at the football club, so it would be...
Do you think that's been a fuck-up in case of the club? Or do you think that's all on the player? Because how it was handled, obviously, at the time, it seemed right. I think we were all unanimous in terms of the punishment that was kind of given to him. But do you think in terms of, you know, from a club's point of view, an asset is there. We've not been able to sell him. We're paying his wages. We've not been able to reintegrate him into the team. Do you think that's a wee bit of a failing on the club's part?
He's clearly not interested in making amends and coming back. Now, I don't think Bowley's a good player. I mean, I know there's some debate in that, the cynic. I just don't think he's good. However, he's not that bad that he wouldn't have been tried or played at left back at some point. And he hasn't been. So you've got to think that he has articulated his views on how he feels. He must be gutted that he's not got a move on. Because, you know, he's not got a future here. He doesn't seem to be making overtures to say, play me, play me. It's just a strange situation for the guy. Chris is doing his usual. Chris Gallagher, the producer of this podcast, where he just likes to type things in the chat box and put people off. And I've told him many times not to do it.
Oh,
he keeps doing it. Apparently Bowley's going to Russia, apparently. Come on in, Gal. Come on, speak up. Come on. If you're going to interrupt me in my flow, at least have the guts to speak.
You genuinely seem like angry. I was just saying there's rumours potentially that Bowley might be going to Russia. That was just a comment. Jesus.
Drop in at any point. You know, you've done podcasts. Just don't do that wee thing where it flashes up and puts me off.
Right.
Please.
Sorry, Sorani.
Amateur hour here.
It is amateur hour. I've got tremendous respect for the gaffer, but, you know, some things need to change. But anyway, yes, Bowley, he should have went. Thank you.
Graham, any, you know, what's your thoughts on who's went out? Is there anybody you would have liked to keep and anybody that you would have liked to have moved on? And I mean keep, realistically keep. No, like, I just wanted, you know, I wish Eddie stayed, for example.
Don't think there's anyone that realistically that I would have wanted to have kept. Like, I think Christy is the only one, because, like, when it comes to Eddie and it comes to Ayer, these types of players, in the contract negotiation, you say to them, give us 2 years, give us 3 years, we'll get you to the Premiership. That is the way that Celtic have to sell themselves to these players. Someone like Ryan Christie, that's not a case. It's not a case of sign for us from fucking Inverness Cali, whatever, and we'll... And Scotland have gone 1-0 up, apparently. Someone's just...
Who the fuck cares?
Just sorry. People put messages. Is that... Did Sir Manny, did you send that message?
I'm doing it, I know, Gal. Sorry, I didn't.
My floor.
I'm just a dick as well, Graham. I apologise for that.
No, with someone like Christie, like it wasn't. He's not the kind of player that you sell on moving on. So it would have been good to keep him. As Samana said about Bolly, it's bizarre. If the club are just like hanging him out to dry because of the whole thing that happened at the beginning of last season, then he has been treated a lot harsher than Lee Griffiths ever was treated, which makes me think that either that's not the case and something else is going on behind the scenes, or as somebody says, he's just not interested in playing, because it's really weird that he's just been dropped out of the European squad altogether. But yeah, like I'll be quite interested to see what happens with Robertson. Obviously, he's been included in the European squad despite the fact he's at Crewe. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays any part in the season, if we maybe try and bring him back at Christmas or something, I don't know. But yeah, I would like to have seen him stick around just because of the fact that we're so short in midfield and the kind of attacking midfield positions, but it is what it is. So we just need to go with what we've got.
I think Bolly and Beaton, I think, are the two ones for me that I would have liked to have seen moved on. And Beaton is really for the, we could put Beaton in, or, you know, X player is injured, or Beaton's going to come in. I just hate that question mark hanging over us, because you know he's going to get game time. And Bolly, we need to try and recoup a bit of money for him, I think. Boud, we're about halfway through the podcast. How are you feeling? Are you enjoying yourself?
Aye, it's all right. I might need to run away and get a wee beer at some point, so you'll need to carry the podcast for a minute or two without me. But the one player you've not mentioned that I would have liked to have kept is Elanusi, just in his loan return. And the rest of the loanies, absolutely right to get them back to where they came from. But on the other hand, that mean if we did keep Moy, we probably wouldn't have got Jota, who's going to be Ballon d'Or this year.
Before we finish up with the squad, of the obvious weaknesses in the squad, I think we would all probably say would be in the centre of midfield. I think we'd probably say possibly at centre-back, although we have a number of options. Whether we have quality options is probably debatable, because there's a few players in there that we're yet to see the best of. And, you know, somebody like Vickers coming in, bit of an unknown, really, in how he'll adapt. And left-back as well, I think, just because of the depth and things like that. So, Manny, I mean, if there's any other weaknesses, please feel free to tell me. But do you think, for example, the likes of Liam Shaw, who came in pre-season? Now, I know there was a lot of players playing in pre-season that we're maybe not going to see a lot of. Somebody like Owen Moffat, for example, played really well coming up from the reserves. You had Dane Murray, who's obviously playing in some of the qualifiers right at the start and things like that. Do you think, you know, Liam Shaw played, and I think there was a lot of positive reports from him in pre-season, but then it was pre-season games. Do you think we've kind of written him off a bit too early? Do you think that he'll get his chance and centre midfield, where obviously we're a bit weak, and also Dane Murray, who I thought really looks like he's got a bright future? Do you think we'll see him at centre-half?
I mean, there's a couple of players. Sorry, before we touch on some of the players in the B team, I think you maybe need to highlight goalkeeper as being a weak position, because, you know, Hart's come in and done better than what we had, but he's already had one high profile mistake away in Alkmaar. So potentially that might be an area of weakness going forward, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt just now.
Even if Hart's fantastic for the rest of his career, are you comfortable with anybody behind him taking over the position?
Exactly. I mean, Barkas, there might be some people out there who think there's still a semblance of a player in there at some point, but I've given up on him. And Bain, I just don't think, is a very good goalkeeper. So we're maybe a bit light there, but we should be able to muddle through going forward. There's a few guys in the B team that, you know, the good thing about the B team playing in the Lowland League and the coverage they've got and the Celtic B Twitter and Lewis Laird doing some stuff for The Cynic, which is always nice to listen to when he gives his report, is that you can see players consistently performing well. Now, is it the highest level? No, but it's competitive. And if they're playing competitive football, you're going to get a better idea how they're going to be able to handle the physical side of it, and B, how far their talent's shining above the opponents they're playing. You've got, is it Bozen Lowell? I always seem to get is that right? He looks as if he could be a real football player. It looks as if he's strolling some of those games in terms of the clips that we've got. Shaw, I've got higher hopes for than Origidi, based on what I've seen of him. I'm going on what Kieran said on the agenda, and what he said is that when they came into the club, they thought that they were well short of the standard required, both Shaw and Origidi. But still...
But see, on that though, I can't remember if you mentioned this last night or it was on another podcast I was listening to, but Joe Rogan, yeah. God bless Joe, obviously had COVID, hope he's all right. One thing is that we now think that we could develop players. Like last season, it was a case of having players, the standard they're at is the standard they'll stay at because of the manager and because of what was happening behind the scenes. Yeah. It's surely got to be now that we think, look, see these players, the likes of Liam Shaw, the likes of Luca Coronel, who, by the way, is the same age but has had first-team experience. Although they might not be in the frame now, you would hope that Ange would be able to develop them at the age of 20.
You said earlier on you were going to talk about Scott Robertson. I'm assuming that you're going to talk about some of his comments. That Robertson came out today and basically said, that's exactly what Ange said. Now, this is another thing that we've maybe not considered, right? We're light in central midfield. Maybe Ange's got eyes on one of our central midfielders, been able to make the step up in terms of the squad. Now, I don't know, and I'm not suggesting that, but if he's having conversations with guys that are in the B squad, key guys that have gone out on loan, you know, there's players that have gone out on loan, like the likes of Leo Connor going to Tranmere, in your head, you're thinking that's a way of getting him out the way. No offence to Lee, and I maybe be wrong, but there's some other players where you think they're going there for a specific reason. Scott Robertson being one at Crewe. You know, so I get the impression, or maybe it's just hopeful, or maybe I'm reading between the lines in certain situations, but Ange seems to have plans or ideas or ideals on bringing them in to the first team squad at a later date. That's good, because he might have to in terms of the way that we play football. No, I'm going to take that back about Leo Connor. That wasn't very fair. There were some loans that have gone out that you just think they're doing that.
He's shite my run down his contract. Hi, absolutely.
Terrible.
Graham, do you think, you know, I was again intimated on one of the other podcasts that you can listen to on thecynic.co, but it's Myla Sorrow. He's a player that I think we had hopes for. He came in. The same with Turnbull, they came in at a time when the team was performing badly and seemed to add something and gave us a bit of hope. But then he's kind of fallen away under Ange and you're a bit doubtful. Obviously, McGregor's went back to the sixth position. Do you think we could see somebody like Sorrow play in the eight? Because arguably, we don't really have any eights. Do you think we might see, you know, not just players developing better in their current positions, but do you think Ange might have the ability to maybe spot that a player would be better in another position, somebody like Sorrow, for example, move them, and we can maybe see them develop somewhere else?
I think that's totally something that could happen. I just don't think it will happen with Sorrow. Like, I think it's something that's happened already to a kind of small degree with Callum McGregor, because obviously McGregor was starting further forward and now he's pulling back to the sitting position. I think he's always going to be aware of the things that the players that he needs in certain positions, and it looks to me as if he wants the two more attacking midfielders to be players that can totally open up another team's defence. I don't think Sorrow is ever going to be that. So the only way that I can see Sorrow coming into the team would be to take the sixth position and move McGregor to be like a kind of a go between the more attacking players and the defensive player. But I think Sorrow to me is to a lesser extent what I always thought about James McCarthy. I look at these players and I just think, what do you do? Like, I don't know what Sorrow does in the football field. He seems to move the ball about slightly at the back, kind of small passes. And Neil Lennon as a football player was fucking similar to me as well. I was never a fan of him as a player. You're probably surprised by that from my opinions about him as a manager. But I just feel as if these players, When it comes to midfield in Scotland, when we're expected to be expansive and open up teams, I just don't feel as if we have a need for these players as much. And I just can't see Sorrow getting many games in the Scottish Premier League. And if it does get games, it needs to be in a midfield that's got pure attacking capabilities around them. And they just tell him to do the kind of the basic things, because it looks to me, at the age he's at just now, I don't feel as if he's going to develop much further, and that could be pretty harsh because he's not had much game time, but I just don't see much from him at all.
Is Sorrow not relatively young? Is he not only like 22, 23?
Aye.
I mean, you'd have...
He's written off. Lee, just got on, mate.
Under the bus.
There's been a few players under that bus. Chris Bowd, did you get your beer?
I did need. Cheers, lads. Say well.
What are you drinking?
Unfortunately, I'm on just the simple Carlsberg. And
Jesus.
I know. It does the job.
I feel as if you should just bring the beers for the pod into the pod room with you. Like, just sit them here.
We should probably put a tweet out about what we're all drinking before the pod. But mind, there used to be all about biscuits on the Cynic. I remember when I was a listener back in the day. Graham, what are you on?
Augustina Pellas.
Lovely.
One with the wee bishop-looking guy on it.
Armani, you being sensible?
Oh, I had the end of a Caesar Augustus, but I'm done now, so what are you on?
Brilliant. I'm on the old Leffy.
You were on that last night as well, weren't you?
It's the same keg. Right, so we're gonna talk about look into the future. You know, nothing bad's happened yet. We've not disgraced ourselves. Starfield's not made any mistakes yet. So the next round of fixtures up until the next international break, which is basically until the start of October, I think. Our last game in this block is away to Aberdeen on the 3rd of October, I believe. So it starts off this weekend. We're at home to Ross County. Then we're away to Real Betis in the Europa League. We're away to Livingston next in the league. And then comes a tie against Raith Rovers at home in the League Cup. Then Dundee United at home. By a Leverkusen at home, again in the Europa League, of course, and then away at Aberdeen before the next international break. So you've got what? 1, 2, 3, 4 league games. You've got 2 Europa League games, 1 League Cup game. There's some more away ties there. Difficult away ties, I would suggest, for the league in terms of Livingston and Aberdeen. You know, we've already been to Tynecastle. We've already been to Ibrox. These are probably some of the hardest away games that we're going to have. So we know how it's gone with Ange so far in terms of, you know, the two away games. We've lost both of them so far. So, Manny, what would you like to see in the next block of games? And really, I want this in 3 parts. Results, and don't get me wrong, we all want to win every game, so don't give it an easy answer. But results, performance, and starting 11. What would you like to see?
Results, we need to win games. I know it's daft to say that, right? But that's still right now, that's the most important thing. Performance-wise, I want to see us impose ourselves on teams. You know, we've seen us do that against Dundee and St Mirren. And, you know, I think we really need to be getting out there and basically imposing our will on a lot of these sides. You know, they can't cope with us. Our attacking plays that strong that they really don't have anything that they can do to us. Starting 11, I'm not very precious about the starting 11 because I think we're going to need to shape it up. We're going to need to mix it up in terms of the intensity that we intend to play with. So,
Are there players there that you would like to see more established or grow into their kind of roles in the team, for example?
I'll be honest with you, there's nobody there. I mean, you're going to have, for your big games, there's certain players you know that are going to play. But what I want to do is I'd be happier with the squad contributing more broadly. You know, I mean, there's nobody who I'm desperate to play all the time. For instance, Graham touched on it earlier on. We're playing Ross County on Saturday. See if they didn't start. Now, he is going to start McGregor, but seeing some of these games, if you didn't start McGregor, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with that because we've got so many games going forward. Giannoumakis, maybe not on Saturday because of, you know, he's just through the door. But a game like Ross County at home, do you need to play Kyogo through the middle or do you keep him for more important games? So I suppose the point I'm saying is, if you asked me to pick my strongest 11 just now, I could probably do that. But I'm not precious about it because I know with the amount of games coming thick and fast, we need to bring some of the fringe players in. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of them as well.
Yeah, I mean, for myself, I would like us to start winning away. I want to win the away games. I don't want that to become a thing for too much longer. It's already been talked about. I think in terms of the league, the goal has to be to win every league game. Obviously, the League Cup as well. It's a cup competition. You want to win that. It's against Raith Rovers at home. Hopefully, we can maybe make some changes to the squad, if possible, depending on form and things. But I think the real focus has got to be take maximum points from the league. When it comes to Europe, you know, the Betis game away, the Bayer game at home, I think those games will just hopefully be a chance to, you know, show that we can compete at that level. You know, we spoke about this last night, so Manny, I'm not necessarily hell-bent on us winning these games, necessarily going through. And, you know, and what I mean by that is, if we don't progress out of the group stage, I'm not going to be heartbroken about it. If we see enough to give us hope for next year's campaign in Europe, you know, and we know that there's a massive carrot at the end of this season in terms of if we win the league, we get Champions League football, which the club needs. You know, it's been too long without. So, but there is a part of me that just thinks we need to move at a slower pace, and I would like to have steady results that show real concrete growth in the team rather than, you know, a fluky result against Real Betis away, and it gets us thinking that actually we're better than what we are. So I just want a kind of genuine gauge on how the team's progressing. Performance-wise, I would like to see us keep up the performance in terms of, you know, high-scoring games, but maybe control games a wee bit more as well. And I know that sounds mad, but especially, I suppose, the games away from home, I'd like to go with a confidence that we are fully in control and going to win these games, which, you know, we need to improve on our away results, obviously. And then starting 11, I'd like to see Juranovic really nail down that right back slot, and Tony Ralston becomes a backup, and that's where he has to be. I'd like to see Starfelt improve, maybe Cameron Vickers coming in and seeing how Cameron Carter-Vickers coming in and seeing how he gets on. I'd like to see the front three of Jota, Kyogo and Abada, I'd like to see more consistent performances from. I want to see him really performing for 90 minutes. I think that would be, you know, really good to kind of dispel worries about him, even though he's at a young age. See somebody like Giamakis come in and score goals and know that he is not just a backup, but he's another real first team quality option, you know. So I think there's a lot that we're going to learn about the squad over the next wee while. And the other one, Samani, of course, is James McCarthy. We need to see James McCarthy get game time. We need to see him start, you know, establish himself in the team. So there's going to be a lot to take away from this next month of football, I think, and hopefully it answers a lot of questions. Graham, yourself, what are you looking for? Results, performance, starting 11?
I want to see Forrest back in the team. I want to see him on the right. I want to see Jota, Forrest and Kyogo as my front three and just get Forrest back up to his kind of...
You fucking hate Abada, don't you? You fucking hate him.
I think people have got short memories over how good Forrest can be when he's on form. And like, Forrest on form is one of our best players, and I want to see him back there. But Abada is fine. He's just, he needs to be treated as a 19-year-old and brought into the team if and when we need him. I want to see, similar to you, I want to see McCarthy in there. I want to see if he can offer something this season, because if he can't, it's a real fucking worry. So we need to make sure he can get into the team. I want to see the two attacking midfield positions are basically going to rotate between Rogic, Turnbull and McGregor. I want to see if we've got another option. Is there anyone else in the squad, anyone else in the B team that can come in and play one of those positions? Because that would take off a lot of tension. I want to see us go to Betis, and for me, the best thing that we can do in this group is finish second, and the worst thing I want to see is in this group is finish third and going to the conference. We shouldn't be anywhere near losing, finishing bottom in this group. We should be taking Betis as far as we can for that second spot. So I want to see that. I don't have high hopes for Leverkusen at home, because Leverkusen are just a machine when it comes to these types of games, and I just don't know, even at home, if we're going to be able to do much. But other than the European matches, I don't want us losing a single match out of those. I think we have it in us to beat them. Stephen Glass and Scott Brown's at Aberdeen, fuck them. We're going to destroy them at Pittodrie. We're going to do Raith Rovers 9-0 at Celtic Park. And the rest is just going to get fucking done as well, as far as I'm concerned. I think we can do something in Seville. And if we can get that result in Seville, then we beat the Hungarian mob home and away. We're fucking through, as far as I'm concerned. So, this next month, I don't have much to fear because there's not many expectations on us when it comes to the European stuff. And we also get Champions League football for finishing second. We need to qualify for it, but there's also Champions League football for finishing second. So I don't think it's not going to be doom and gloom, even if it doesn't go exactly how we planned this season.
Ian McKay, happy to finish second. Chris Bowd.
Rangers supporter, Graham McKay.
It's a good run of fixtures to test yourself, though, Bowd. What are you looking for?
It is. I don't want to repeat what you guys have said, but I agree pretty well a lot of what you've said. When it actually comes to the games, I'm talking bollocks right now, but for me, the league games are the important. When it comes to results, that's what I want to see. I want to see us win those league games. I want to see us win away league games. And as for Europe in the Cup, fuck it. As I say, that's all going to go out the window when those games actually happen. The kind of performance in the starting 11, to me, there's a combination there. I want to see us being able to make changes to that starting 11, to rotate that squad and maintain a high level of performance. So that's going to be interesting for me to see, because obviously we've got the new toys to play and bring out, which will be great, like Jota and Giakoumakis, who we might be forced into playing if Kyogo's done badly here. But I think it's all about making a number of changes throughout these games and actually the system still working and us still getting the performances and still getting the results. Sir Manny talked about Juranovic nailing down the right back position, or was it you, John?
It was me. No, it was John.
Aye.
John. Honestly, see, you know that you've invented this new persona. John, can you know something a bit fancier? Like,
I want to fade into the background. That's the whole point. I'm like that Simpsons meme, Homer getting into the hedge. Listen, very quickly, we're under pressure here from management to try and wrap this podcast up. But I want a one-word answer, which very rarely happens on this show, but I'm going to try for it anyway. Would you like an update from Dom McKay on changes to the structure? Yes or no, Chris Bowd?
Aye.
So, Manny?
Maybe.
What a dick. Graham?
Aye.
Aye. Obviously, it was talked about, I think it was mentioned earlier on the show as well, about the fact that, you know, Dom McKay mentioned about modernising the club and bringing in a director of football and things like that. Does anybody get any ideas about what they would like to see as the club try and achieve? You could, because you would imagine that the attention obviously was all in the transfer window. Now that that's shut, hopefully we're going to focus on the structure, getting things in place. What would you like to see in the immediate kind of short term? And I say short term kind of loosely. Let's say from now till the turn of the year, what would you like to see happen? Does anybody get any ideas?
I would like to see more Strachans in, like maybe wow. Michaela Strachan from the Totally Wild show, get her in. Just as many Strachans as possible into the infrastructure, that'd be ideal for me.
Pretty much shat my question there, about.
We need bodies in and a workable, sustainable structure. Ideally, I want Dermot Desmond to have as little to do with the running of this football club as possible. And again, Dom McKay shouldn't have a lot to do with the football inside the stuff. So, you know, we need the bodies in there, but we also need them to actually have, you know, the responsibility and the authority to do their jobs without being interfered. Without big fucking Dermot Desmond coming and stirring the pot, basically.
Well, Manny, do you think it's real? I think it's realistic to expect a director of football, for example, to be appointed, or a head scout to be appointed in the next few months?
I don't know. Ange talked about how these things are a priority for after the transfer window shutting. I said it to you last night on the pod we recorded. See, right now, I'm just looking for Celtic to win football matches and for us to play as well as we can. That stuff should be happening, but I ain't sitting waiting on it being announced. I'll be perfectly honest with you. So it would be a pleasant surprise to hear in 3 months' time that we've appointed such and such as the director of football, or we've appointed a head scout with a network of scouts across all the shop, basically.
The universe.
That would be great, yes. But I'm not sitting waiting on that happening. Right now, my focus is solely on what we're doing in the park. I'll see if it doesn't go well for us in the park. I'll piss and moan that that's not in place. But we'll leave that to that happens.
Before we finish, doing peak football over the last couple of years, these appointments were happening at Rangers, and they were coming up in the record every day. They were making these appointments. Director of football coming in, head of recruitment coming in, head of sports science and stuff like that. And they were reporting on them, but no one was talking about them. And that's the way it should be. It should be a case of these things are the appointments are being made, but the fans don't need to care about them. The fans don't need to talk about it down the pubs and in the hotline and stuff like that. It should just be happening in the background because the organisation of the football club is getting better and is getting more modern. So for me, I would like to hear a kind of update from Don McKay about this kind of stuff, but I don't need it. I just need it to happen in the background.
Yeah. And ideally, it's a stable position. You don't want it to be, something that we're discussing and trying to force changes and all that.
We will discuss it, but
endlessly.
We all care about these positions rather than, maybe
you can
in the
listen
past.
Right here to us discussing it.
Ah, exactly. Right, questions. We're going to finish on question time. The Discord is what a community. Sometimes I just go there. I don't even say nothing. I just look at everybody there in the room and it fills my heart with joy. We're going to go to some questions. I'm going to start with you, Sir Manny, because you're pulling a face. Sean Miles says, if Kyogo's injury, he got injured tonight, just in case you didn't know, fucked his knee. I don't know how bad it is. If it stops him playing at the weekend, should it be Giamakis that takes his place, or Albin Ayeti?
Giamakis.
He's a reason why, Dick.
Because... Giamakis because, I think everybody's keen to see what he can do, and he's obviously signed. I think it's clear that Ayeti isn't high up in the estimations of the manager at the current moment, so I'm assuming that the guy who's came in the last day of the transfer window is. So, Giamakis, please.
Graham McKay, Claire Boyle, big friend of the show. She obviously recorded a mailbag question for us last night, so Manny. Spoiler alert.
It was indeed.
It was good. Claire asked Graham, can we talk about your friend and mine, Tony Ralston? Right? She wants a bit of respect putting Tony Ralston's name. She was a bit pissed off that the fact that we were talking about Juranovic just coming in for the Rangers game and should take his place and all that sort of thing. She says that there was a lot of talk last season about everybody getting a clean slate, but can that ever really apply? And are we all just waiting for him to make a mistake so that we can be like, I told you so? What do you think, Graham? Do you think that the slate has been wiped clean for Ralston, or are we all being a wee bit harsh just expecting it to go wrong?
I don't think anyone's expecting it to go wrong, because Tony Ralston's never been someone who has like a clanger in him. Like he never completely messes up and does like an F.A. Ambrose or does like a Simonovic or anything like that. He's just someone that we all thought was really limited. And a lot of the pressure that's came down in Tony Ralston's head was the fact that after the 10 was gone, the club went out and signed John Joe Kenny on loan to play it right back, when we still had Tony Ralston in the team. And the fact that the club basically dismissed Tony Ralston as a possible right-back contender was one of the things that's made it so hard for him. I've never thought that Tony Ralston was an awful footballer. He's not someone who's going to be making mistakes left and right and centre. He's just a limited footballer that is trying his best for the team that he supports. Like, he's not going to be good enough to take Celtic forward. But this season, I'm happy with him sitting in as a replacement. I'm happy with him coming in games when we're playing Ross County at home. I'm happy for him to be part of the squad. Whereas, on the one hand, he's never been as bad as people have said he is. And on the other hand, he's probably not as good as people have been saying he is at the start of the season either. He's just a decent professional, as far as I'm concerned.
Christopher Boud, this question's for you.
Okay.
Jake Maguire has told us that he's going to be in Bournemouth in December. And okay. he's probably going to try and catch a game. Do you, Chris Boud, have anything you'd like him to pass on to Ryan Christie?
If he could lob a blender at his head, that'd be pretty good, eh?
So Manny, we're going to finish with you. Only Island CSC says, who's our penalty taker now that Eddie is gone? Who would you like to see take his place?
Diogo. I don't know. Who's happening? I mean...
Fucking hell. You're no good with the answers tonight, eh?
Well, no really. Who in the squad have we seen take penalties consistently for us?
Get Joe Harper up there just for a bit of bants.
There you go. There you go. That role is up for grabs, Louis. But I'm going to predict Kyogo will take on that role with aplomb.
So is the corners, by the way, because nobody can take a corner either. These are the things that need to be sorted, and we can't be losing goals to set pieces. Anyway, we're moving on. We're finishing up. It's been a pleasure. We've not had any games to talk about, but we've got a lot of material out of that, so that was good. Christopher Boud, you've been terrific. You've had a couple of beers. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Always, John, always. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. Hail, hail.
Thank you. Chris Armani?
Terrific, as always. Well done on your hosting debut, John.
Thanks very much. Chris. Graham, pleasure as always. Will we see you soon?
Hopefully. And could you please not dox me? Anyone online? That'd be good.
Fantastic. This has been the Cynic Weekly. I have been John Smith, who you do not know, and we will speak to you down the road.